So the title of this message is Laura had the, you know, two P's and I've got three T's. So trials, tragedy, and trauma. I mentioned it briefly last week. And looking at the adversities of life and the pursuit of Jesus in that. Just a little reflection on last week, and I have permission from my son to share this. And after this service, we were at home, and he said he was a little disappointed last week, and it was like, why? I says, well, I don't know. I thought things were going to go nuts at church. And so I thought about that because, you know, yes, I felt that that Sunday, that message was given to me a long time ago. And as I reflected on what he said, it was what came to mind is there's something he was looking for, right? We're not quite sure what it is. But I feel like we're kind of on this road to Emmaus, walking down this road. And I believe that as we're on that road and we're on this journey going to the next kind of stage of life in our church, we are going to have encounters with Jesus. And I believe that. You know, there's other areas, some of you know me, there's other areas I struggle with faith. I believe this. I really believe that God is going to encounter us in various ways as we walk into this next season of this journey. And so this message actually came to me like in November. There's a few of you that join on Thursday morning prayer during the prayer time, and this message just came to mind, and I thought about it because Mark Lewis, he preached on December 4th, and kind of like was supposed to preach sort of an Advent message, but God gave him this message specifically, and he didn't know where he was going to preach it, and then he was contacted, can you come preach at our church? And he said, yeah, I got this message I'd like to preach. So he preached this message called Dealing with Doubt and Going Through Difficulty. And then Ken, so both Mark and Ken are both from district office, he spoke on February 26th, Surviving the Storms of Life. And I was kind of thinking, okay, well, I'm kind of like in this similar area here, but, you know, things were kind of covered, but I felt, no, this is... I feel like that God has something for us in this sort of theme. And I think that, you know, looking at the adversities and in the midst of adversities, at some point, sensing even in the midst of that, God's times of refreshing in the midst of that. And maybe you're going through certain things, and it's maybe in the middle of that that you come to an oasis and God gives you some refreshing. And maybe it's only for a bit. But then also, the prayer is that as you walk through things, we do get to sort of the other side, and that there's a refreshing there. And so I want to encourage us that this is a part of the journey that God is going to help us as we walk together, sometimes in the midst of difficult things, and we're going to meet Jesus. So I have a question for you this morning. You don't have to, you know, show it. You know, when somebody stands up here and says, can we all stand or do this or do that? It's, you know, please feel free to stay seated or whatever, right? Just so you know, right? So you have that freedom. But who among us, if you're willing to answer, who among us has prayed this kind of a prayer, something along this line? I want to be more like Jesus. Yeah. That's a really dangerous prayer, just so you know. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to use the whiteboard. I'm just going to bring it over, and then I'm going to pray. I'm going old school, so just so you know. So I'll bring that a little closer to me. So I'm going to use that. I'm going to just use it a little bit. But let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, you are here. You are in our midst. You are among us. Sometimes it's like you walk through the aisles, to and fro, touching hearts, touching minds, touching lives. And so again, we welcome you here in this place, Lord. And Jesus, you know the words, there's words on this page that will be spoken, but Lord, only you can really touch our lives and transform us and meet us in different places. And so this morning I pray, Lord, wherever we're at, that we would be challenged, encouraged, that we would see how near you are to us, that you are so close to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Tim, if you can put up that first slide, Oh yeah, how's that gonna work with the slide and the board? Oh, look at that, beautiful, it's okay. I don't need it just yet, so. So we're in James chapter 1, just the first few verses. And so we'll read through that. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And so in verse 2, it says, many kinds of trials. And so when we look at a lot of places in the New Testament, you know, especially like Book of Acts and beyond, and we look at trials, there's sometimes a very specific context of the trial and difficulty, because the much of the church was under persecution, and it was like sometimes pretty serious. And then you read weird things like, you know, the disciples being in jail and being like persecuted and beaten or something like that, and then they leave and they're rejoicing, right? Saying, we've been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That feels really weird to me. Like, maybe for some of you in other parts of the world, you can relate to that. But here in North America, we can't really relate to that. So that's like one category of trials. And then it just says many trials. So it's all kinds of trials of life. So that's where we're going to focus on today, on the trials part. And looking at some of the difficulties with that, or the challenges with that. And so so I drew this little, you know, I'm not an artist, so Holly. A little over, okay, thank you, Zoli. Thank you. Good? Okay, thank you. I'm new at using the whiteboard as well. I get more confused if I have too many slides, so that's part of why I'm doing that. So if we look, we're going to look at trials, tragedy, and trauma. And we want to look at our filter in how we go through some of these things. All right, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Look at those arrows. Aren't those amazing? Holly, look at that. I should come teach your class. Okay, filter. Okay, and so what's our filter when we go through some of these difficulties in life? And like, not all of the filters are, some filters can be bad and good. So, you know, like some of you, maybe you're going through difficult times, and you choose to go do counseling, right? And that's good. That's a good thing. I have a counselor, and that's a good thing. But as we start looking at that, we want to remember, I'm not a counselor, but in the church setting, we want to remember that our primary filter when we go through stuff is through Jesus. And to fix our eyes on Jesus and look at Jesus to help us in that. And so let's look at this a little bit more. So in verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So we're looking at trials, and then he's saying pure joy. Doesn't that like seem kind of like an odd thing to say, that when you're going through a trial, to consider that pure joy? James Adamson, in his commentary, he says, he's quoting about some of the rabbis, and it says, the rabbis taught that the chastisements of love are precious, bestowing on Israel the finest gifts from heaven, like a father's chastisement of his son. Alec Moyter, I'm not pronouncing that right, but probably Barry knows how to pronounce. He gives the title here, the Life-Giving Trial is his title. And he says that the pathway to maturity, there is a terrain through which that pathway must go. And it's part of our Christian life. And in the commentaries, it also talks about count it all joy. Another way to look at it is have a settled conviction. Have a settled conviction that this trial is something for my benefit. And the word faith, you know, it says face trials. There's another word you can use, encounter. Whenever you encounter trials. Usually a trial is an unplanned, and usually it's undesired. Right? It's an undesired incident. It's not something that is exciting or fun. And so why do we go this? Because you know that the testing of your faith, verses 3 and 4, produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So as we filter through and we go through these trials, what is the goal? The goal in trials, in this context, is maturity. I'll just say mature because I ran out of space. So, right? So this is what God is doing, right? When a trial is coming your way and it looks unpleasant, and it is unpleasant, he's trying to bring us to a place of maturity. Now, just before he says maturity in this passage, James, he says, therefore, consider pure joy. The trials are to produce perseverance, right? That's the first one. It says perseverance. Now, there's other words in there that can be similar, like endurance, or I like steadfastness, okay? So that your faith might produce steadfastness. And think, we see it a little farther in the passage. Think being steady, not being blown over by the wind. And if we consider ourselves, you know, there's different ways to consider ourselves as children, right? Eventually we want to grow to maturity, right? But as a child, when they're learning to walk, initially they're unstable. You know, they start off moving around, start crawling, maybe then they're holding onto the seat. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're right in the midst of that. And then they might take a step or two, and they get really excited when they take three or four steps and run from one place to the other. But that's a little bit of the sense for us in that becoming steadfast and steady in our relationship with God, that we would learn how to walk. And why is that? Because that's who God is, right? If we're asking, right? Remember we said, who wants to be more like Jesus? Guess what? Trials are going to come your way. If you pray, I want to be more like Jesus, trials will come your way. And you might be thinking, what's going on? That's exactly what's going on. God is bringing trials your way to grow you up and to help you mature. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. So some of the thoughts on trials, because you can just say this word, trials. Well, how do trials primarily come? Primarily, they come through relationships, the various relationships that you have. So they might be at work. Anybody ever have conflict or difficulty at work? One person, two, okay. Wait, we work together. Wait a minute, Paul. Do we need to talk, Paul? I love Paul. At home or in church, right? And there's these conflicts. And what? They're not pleasant. They're not pleasant. And I believe they're often from God. And it's easier for us to point at the other person, isn't it? At least it is for me. It's like, oh, I'm in this tension, and it's like, you know, maybe it's my wife and I, we're going through something, and it's like, yeah, God's trying to work in you here. Okay, hang on a sec. No, wait a minute. That is actually not the lesson. God is trying to work in me, right? It's easy for us to try to look to the other and try to see the fault in other. But the reality is that God is working in you and exerting pressure on you in this manner to mature you, to show you more of who he is. And one of the cautions I have here, right, is like, you know, and depending where you are, like sometimes with, you know, some people are a little more charismatic, we want to ascribe this as an attack of the enemy, right? We say, oh, I'm under attack. Well, you can't rebuke a trial. It won't work. It won't work because the trial is there to mature you. Of course, you need to have wisdom because the enemy will always try to come in there and get in there. But God is the one that allows us to be in these positions. And I would, you know, I alluded to marriage. I said, well, that is, you know, we talk about like the Disney story sometimes, right? I was thinking about this and, you know, like who's watched the live version of Cinderella? Anyone? One, two, okay. Well, anyway. couple people don't want to admit it. So I love that movie. And you know, if Daniel's here, oh yeah, my dad, oh, we're going to watch that. Dad's going to cry. You're right. I'm going to cry. Not right now, but wait, I'm going to watch the movie. But I think of like, so, I mean, we basically know the premise, right? Cinderella, kind of like, you know, the Disney story that, you know, loses one or both of their parents, right? And, you know, it's kind of and then, you know, she has the evil stepmother and the stepsisters. Think about like the trauma she faced in that. That was like a rough deal, right? And then she meets, you know, the prince who's going to become the king. You know, he's lived in a palace. He's got, you know, people who probably wash his feet. He's got all the food he wants. Now you put these two people together and it's like they live happily ever after. Well, probably not, right? Think of how different their family of origin is and the conflict they're going to have. So they end the story, though, they live happily ever after. But the reality is part of marriage, there's all kinds of pictures of marriage. Part of marriage and close relationships is to put you in that position of tension. And that's a place where we're to grow. And so for those of you, maybe some of you are in that position where it's hard right now, look at yourself, right? It's actually, I know it's hard to believe it, this is actually a gift from God. It's a gift to grow you and mature you. And if you can shift your perspective on that, then you can actually say, this is God working in my life. I can actually consider this pure joy. I can come before him that he is working in my life to transform me because we prayed, remember? I want to be more like Jesus. This is one of the ways it happens. I like that term. We can have a settled conviction if joy is a little too hard, a settled conviction. And as we move on to this, in verse 5, it talks, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Right? So here's just like, you're in this situation, you're in this trial, you're in this difficulty. Start bringing God into it. Right? Sure, you can go to counseling, you can do all kinds of other things, but bring God into it. This is part of where God wants to encounter you in the midst of this difficulty. It says God gives generously. One of the other translations says, he gives all as a simple, unconditional gift without finding fault. He's not like, I'm only going to give it to you if you're not messing up. No, he's generous. He knows that we're learning, that maybe we're even acting in ignorance. He will generously give that wisdom. Again, it feels like to me, it's not in this in the passage, but as I look at this, it feels like there's this underlying kind of theme of us being children and growing up. And God knows we are but jars of clay, that we're dust. He knows we're weak, and he's so patient with us. I've experienced the patience of God, and I tell you, I need it. I need the patience of God. And Andrea needs patience with me, too. I guess that's the thing. If I have got the mic up here, I can, yeah. Oh, but you're going to have the mic later, so. So, on wisdom, I wanted to touch a little bit on that. We do not always receive wisdom in isolation. Sometimes we can, right? Because we ask God and he'll give us wisdom. But wisdom also comes in the counsel of many. And this is part of the gift of the body of Christ. And I you know, sometimes I feel relatively comfortable with, I can figure this out. So there's a good side to that, but then there's a bad side to that for me, that I can be more independent, saying, oh, I don't need anybody's help. I can just do this on my own. That's the bad side. And so we need this, the body of Christ, as a countermeasure to being able to figure everything out on our own. And so when we're looking and asking God for wisdom, we got to remember that we bring in others into that. And I think sometimes God will actually intentionally hide wisdom from us in order to grow us to be more fully a part of the body of Christ. And for some of us that, like myself, feels, it's just me and you, God, we can do it. Sometimes that's hard. I might not like that. I just want to figure this out between me and you, God. And when I don't do that and actually ask others, it's like, wow, I know quite a few people that are really wise. Laura's actually, she's really wise. I was like, I didn't know Laura when I started off as an elder. She's really wise. She's great Anyways, shout out to Laura. Now here's a little bit of where there's some pressure that comes onto us here in the next few verses. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. This starts to move us into our posturing before God. Now it's interesting, the word doubt in the Greek here, it doesn't necessarily have a bad meaning. It can mean to know how to decide between alternative interpretations, or to argue and discuss the respective merits of two points of view. So it's not inherently a bad word. It's kind of like a part of you're making your mind up, you're going back and forth and making your mind up. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But in this context, where is he going with this? He's saying, what's happening here? And there's this kind of like, am I going to trust God or am I going to figure it out on my own? There's this kind of going back and forth in the doubt, right? And on faith, it says about faith in this passage, it feels a little heavy-handed. And I would propose to you that when we lack faith, and we all do in certain areas, I would say, it means that we're disconnected to the source. Right? To Jesus. Jesus is our source. And so when we lack faith, we sometimes are like not trusting in who God is. So that starts to make more sense of why there's a heavy-handedness. Are we not trusting God in our situations? Are we trying to do it on our own? This is part of the wrestling. This isn't bad. It's okay to be in that part of the wrestling as you work through difficulties in life, you work through these trials. And believing that he hears us. James Adamson says this in with respect to the asking. It says here and in the Synoptic Gospels, it means primarily the simple act of coming to Jesus with some need, in complete confidence that he can and will deal with it. It was this attitude of faith that seemed to release powers in Jesus that made all things possible. Often, when Jesus had healed an ailing man or woman, his explanation of the healing was, thy faith has saved thee. And so knowing who Jesus is, that's a part of the goal why we go through these things, is so that we may know him more. Now the challenge here sometimes is, we may have an expectation of how or when he will come to us in our trials. Some are long. Right? Let's be honest. Some of them feel really, really long, and maybe the end in sight isn't clear. And as I said before, there can be a wrestling when we're looking for that outcome. In that wrestling, that's part of where the wisdom is found, right? Jesus has us wrestling to find the wisdom to hear. And in this passage, it talks about a marine analogy, right? Being pushed by one wave, one direction and another, right? And this is not where we want to live, that we're buffeted to and fro. We want to grow in maturity to be in that place of steadfastness, that we're steadfast, even if things are going on. And finally, in verse 7 and 8, it says, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That's like really harsh, right? So, you know, if I come up to like Ian and say, you know, Ian, don't think you're going to expect anything from God because, you know, you're kind of double-minded and you're really unstable. Sorry, man. It's right here in the scripture, right? Like it's heavy, right? That's heavy-handed. But if we think about that double-mindedness, that divided mind, it's kind of alluding to, are we going to go do things? Are we going to go through things our way or God's way? Flesh or spirit? And it kind of reminds us, one of the commentators is saying, it kind of reminds us of when Jesus says, you can't serve two masters, either Jesus or the other. Right, and so that's why there's a heaviness there, because it's demonstrating we're having a lack of trusting in the person of Jesus. And I think we all do at times, right? That's legitimate. It's fair that we go through this. And I want us to encourage us this morning to embrace those gifts or trials, the gift of trials, and to wrestle through it with God and with one another. And that he is forming us and making us more like him. And remember, he is so patient with us. If we're failing, he will help us. One of the things that I've found in my life, and maybe you've experienced this as well, and I know some of the things are more, they're a little, I'm making it very simple. It is more complicated. But if you find yourself sort of going through the same situation again and again, then it means that maybe you're not learning. And you know, God is patient and he's good. And he is faithful to put us in to the same lesson again until we learn. He's not angry. He's just like, you need to learn this. And if you see a pattern in yourself that this kind of same thing happens again and again, that's something to pay attention to. And it's important to try to understand what God is doing in the midst of that. So I want to, you know, I can't do justice on trials, tragedy, and trauma in one sermon. It probably could do a whole sermon series on that. But I wanted to touch on the other two a little bit as well. Because looking at tragedy and trauma, they're different. I would propose to you they're not trials, and they're important to see a bit of a distinction between the two. So if we're thinking of like tragedy, think of this as a loss, right? Some of you are, this is very real for you right now. Someone close to you. Barry, we're with you. And after the service during the ministry time, we'd love if some people could gather around Barry and pray for him and his family. This is a hard time for him. And there can be other areas of loss, you know, that can be jobs. And there is a very real sense of grief and sadness. Those are important things to go through. And of course, we can grow in these areas. And how are we bringing God into this place? Again, it's a process. And how do we respond? How do we encounter God? And I would propose to you, so I wanted to keep it simple so that, you know, I did feel this kind of sort of impressed by God, you know, the three T's. For trials, it's maturity. And I feel like what God was saying, and there's lots of things, is that he comes in our tragedy with comfort. Tim, you can put up that next verse there. So I want to make sure we don't confuse trials with forms of tragedy. And sometimes Christians, you know, I've said some really dumb things. I don't know if I've done this one, but like, oh, this is like a trial that you're, you know, you've lost. No, that's not a trial. It's part of being in a fallen world. Sadly, this world is fallen and we can't avoid tragedy. We're all going to experience loss. But we don't consider it pure joy, right? Right? We don't. This is a time to grieve, to experience sadness. And the encounter with God, I believe, at a certain point in time in this tragedy, is he is the God of all comfort. In 1 Corinthians 1, 3-5, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so our comfort abounds through Christ." And I propose to you, and again, I know like this is like a long journey when you suffer loss. And again, my prayer for you is that in that season there would be times of an oasis and there would be a time of coming through that you would experience the God of all comfort, the God who will comfort you in that loss. And again, this is where the body comes in as well, that we walk together with one another. Finally, I want to look briefly at trauma as well. It was interesting, I got, anybody get Focus on the Family? Yeah, this one came in this week. I didn't have time to read it, but it's Recognizing and Navigating Trauma. So I am going to read that. If that interests you, I can make you a copy of it. Here, trauma, I would propose to you that the intent here is from the enemy. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is not a trial. Traumas are designed by the enemy to destroy and bring destruction to your life. And although the enemy's power has been defeated at the cross, right? He triumphed over the enemy by way of the cross. The enemy still has power. While we're on this earth now until Jesus comes, he has power to do stuff and to affect our lives. And this is probably, I would say, I mean, some of you have experienced some really, really heavy stuff. Some of us, you know, they talk in the, I think in the magazine, they talk about trauma with a big T and trauma with a small T. It's understandable and valid to say, God, how could you let this happen to me? That is an understandable response. Those emotions and going through that is all fair and understandable. But I'd also encourage us that the lie of the enemy will often attempt to shift the blame to God and cause us to doubt. This is his tactic, right? Any way the enemy can take us away from the goodness of Jesus in our lives is what he will do. He will do that. And again, sometimes sadly in church, people say silly things where like God is putting you through a trial. That's no, right? Traumas are to be resisted. But if they do come, what is our response? And again, of course, we don't consider it pure joy to go through trauma, right? Of course not, right? Of course not. But so how does God come to us in this? And the word I had was, he comes with his healing, right? The God is the God who healeth us. And there's a very short verse in Exodus, you can throw that up there, that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'll read the whole thing, but that's what was coming to mind. I am the Lord that healeth thee, that God wants to come and bring healing to you. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken the voice of the Lord, I did grab this one in King James, the Lord thy God, and wilt do what is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not put any of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's different, like Jehovah Jireh, right? Who remembers the song, Jehovah Jireh? You remember the song, right? It's an old song, God who provides. Jehovah Rapha is the God that healeth thee. And God comes to us in healing. And think of the context of this, right? I had this verse in my head, but I didn't remember the context. This was right after crossing the Red Sea. So think of where they were coming from. They were slaves for hundreds of years. And then as they come across, God says, I am the God that healeth thee. I mean, it's not too hard to think of imagine the trauma that they went through being slaves for all this time. If we look at, I'm just going to read this, the song of a portion of the song of Moses and Miriam in Exodus 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them and sank them to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. And that is the imagery of Jesus coming and shattering the power of the enemy in our lives. Right, especially in this area where we face trauma. Now, it would be nice if it was like really that nice and neat. Let's see if I can erase this. Probably not going to be able to. It dried out a bit. Okay, I'll just erase this part. I wish it was just like, I like compartmentalizing things, but it doesn't really work that way, right? Our lives are more complicated and way more messy. And so, although there's primary things, it's probably a little bit more like, okay, it's like a real mess like this. And so you have the three T's here, and then maybe you're like facing a trial, and then, you know, something really bad happens in that trial and you've been traumatized. And so now it's, you know, a bit of both going. So I wish it was like you could purely compartmentalize things, but we can't, right? Because there's things that overlap. And so be looking to God, and what is he saying to you? Look to him for help. Look to one another. And I want to encourage us in all of these things, in all these adversities, is to continue to bring Jesus into them. And it really is okay to ask why. Why is this going on? But then my prayer is that we would hopefully move into a place and ask, God, where are you in this? Where are you? How do I meet with you? And that can take time. Sometimes it's long. I was talking to somebody that they were going through stuff, and I said, I wish it was quicker, eh? And he goes, I wish it was quicker. It just, sometimes it's not. It is, just isn't. And I also want us to remember that we walk together. And so how many knows we have like an inner healing prayer ministry here? Yeah, well, yeah, you're part of it. So, yeah. Okay. So we do have that. And so it's a time right now. It's online. It's a time to gather. And it's usually with two or three. Is it always three people or two or three?
Two or three.
So my wife and Carolee are on a team. I think Kai as well. They can get together with you and pray through some of these things. This is a great opportunity that if you're struggling with any of these areas, that you can receive prayer. This is a part of the walking together. Of course, there's people you can talk to, that you can talk to me and others, but I encourage you, if you're facing stuff, take advantage of that. And, you know, I don't know who receives ministry unless they tell me, right? It's like confidential, but I've had some people tell me, and that it's been significant, that God has really touched them in some of the areas of their lives. And so in a little while, during the prayer time, I wanna reach out to you and say, if you're going through difficult trials right now, come up and receive prayer. If you're facing loss and sorrow, come receive prayer. Ask the God, they'll pray for you, that the God of all comfort would come to you. If it's, you know, like trauma is an interesting one, right? Because sometimes it stays kind of hidden and then it comes to the surface. There's lots of reasons for that. But if you're in a place right now where some of this stuff is raw and on the surface, come receive prayer for that. And of course, any of those, if you need counseling, more help, please talk to us. And so I want to encourage that. And then maybe Andrea, when you close, to remind people to come up for prayer for that. So I hope that's helpful, because it's like sometimes it's like easy to be thinking, I want to be on this mountaintop, like, oh, Jesus is awesome. It's so exciting. And like good things are happening. And if you're in a place like that, awesome. I'm glad. That's great. But we know that the things of this life come our way, and we need to encounter Jesus in those places. And I believe that this is a part of that times of refreshing, of coming to Jesus, that he would refresh us in those things. And I know sometimes it's like, I just want to get through this. And I understand that. But there's encounters with Jesus in the midst of it. It's not just to get through it. In the midst, God can meet you. And that's what I long for you. I long for us to continue to grow, whether it's becoming mature, whether you need comfort, whether you need healing, whether you need all three. Let's walk together. Let's look to Jesus. Let's remember, he is the one. Ultimately, he is the one who can bring us through. And ultimately, part of us, for those of us who are Christians, is it's an opportunity to, one, become more like Jesus, but also to deepen our relationship with Jesus. That's a part of it. Not that we walk alone or just try to figure it out.